And isn't that the result of having the mind off of the Word of God? God had given and spoken His Word previously. He had spoken and he had said, the elder shall serve the younger. That was God's Word. They didn't have the written Word as we have each of it in our hands. But they had the Word of God spoken to them directly with that promise. And what do we find? We find in this family at this point in time, I will go and say, a dysfunctioning family on the part of Isaac, the father, on the part of Rebecca, the mother, and on the part of Jacob. And Esau, we saw that in Esau already in the chapter 25 that we read, that he was one who was very much a man that was affected by the circumstances around him in a moment. I need it, and I need it now. That is the characteristic of our affluent society. I need it, and I need it now. I want that pottage, and I need it now. So we have a completely dysfunctioning family with their eyes all off of the Word of God and functioning and acting according to the flesh. As Tony has just said, the chapter opens up before us. Isaac's eyes were dim. He wasn't using the spiritual sight that God had given to him through all the experiences in his life now to promote. And what he was doing was really in direct opposition to the Word of God. Think of it. The elder shall serve the younger. That was God's word. And here was Isaac now. He was going to move forward in a direction, forgetting what God had said. Let's not forget what God had said. We have His Word. Now let's have the Word before us, and let's take the direction from God's Word, and not what I think should be, and how I'm going to propagate and bring about what my desire is. So we see it in Isaac already, and we see the fruit of it in Jacob.
So, Brother John, you are saying to us is this. It's a very serious thing to go against the revealed will of God. When the Word of God said something, it's a very serious thing to go against it. That's really what we need to understand. If God's saying something in His Word, don't try to go against it because you just like to do certain things. Isaac wants something. So he was going against the Word of God. Let's not ever go against what God has revealed to us in His Word. Let's be very careful in every action that we do, that it will be in accord with the will of God, with the Word of God.
So I'd like to ask, what then in that happens next is the difficulty? What causes the difficulty with what unfolds after Isaac shares with his son his desires? Where does the problem begin?
Do you want me to volunteer somebody to answer?
Do you understand the question?
Can you repeat it?
So Isaac has just spoken to Esau as to his desire. Desire is to bless him. That in and of itself is not a problem, in a sense, right? So where does the problem begin? What happens next that creates a problem?
Perhaps in verse 6 when
Rebecca goes to Jacob rather than going to Isaac.
Yes, I think that that's correct. First, you have in verse 5 that Rebecca heard, overheard of this private conversation. I shouldn't use the word private. It's in the household. It's between the father and his son. And so there's no difficulty, I think, with that, right? My wife overhears me talking to my daughter all the time. But I think, as you've pointed out, that Rebecca, it says in verse 6, she spoke unto Jacob, her son. And she tells him, behold, she's really planting the seed of deceitfulness. The seed to say, Jacob, you know how you have been dealing your whole life? You know what you did with the birthright? Well, we want to really actually complete the circle, if you would. We don't want you to miss out on anything, Jacob. Your father, he wants to bless Esau. I heard it myself. And I'm coming to you. Perhaps, you know, there's a few of us here that are married. Most of us have children. We understand the dynamics of a household. But you are not married, most of you. But this is a lesson that if you keep in your mind and the Lord brings a wife to you, a husband provides, you have children, that you recognize the importance of not conducting your relationship this way. You speak to each other as adults. But she goes to her son, who is a child to her and Isaac. And she says, look, your father wants, and I can almost hear her whispering, your father wants to bless Esau. He's sending him out to the field. He wants him to bring the things that he loves because, you know, he's old. I heard him say he doesn't know when he's going to die. Jacob, it's time to get up. Esau is out there. That's where Satan enters really her heart. And he motivates her and moves her so that Jacob would displace Esau. Now, as Brother John said, the Word of God points out, Jacob was in the position of blessing. God very often sets aside the firstborn, which is the natural one, right? To bring in the spiritual, which is the second one. Keep that in mind. You see this in the Old Testament. He often sets aside that which is natural, which comes first, to bring in the spiritual. So Jacob did not have to fight for anything. Rebecca didn't have to say, look, we've got to come up with a scheme. But that's where the problem is. And as young people, Brother Amel talks about Facebook and all these kinds of things that we see in the world today that we utilize. And sometimes we want to utilize these methods and our thinking to advance ourselves when God has already said, look, in Christ, I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
This isn't the first struggle that Rebecca experienced with her two children. The first struggle that she had with them was in her womb. Mm. And she realized that there was a struggle going on in her womb. And what did she do at that point? She inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered with his word. Do you see the principle? She inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave a word. Now, there's another struggle going on. It's actually expanded beyond the two boys, and now it's included the father, and she's coming in as a mother. One's gone out to go and get some fresh meat. And now, how are we going to connive and figure out how we're going to circumvent this, Jacob? Do this. We don't read that she inquired of the Lord in this circumstance. And we don't read that Jacob did either, or that Isaac did either, or that Esau did either. None of them inquired of the Lord. And so there is no word of the Lord. Now, was God's purpose overcome? Was what he had said he would do, was it thwarted in any way? God had a purpose. And despite the activity of men, he is going to bring that purpose about. But man, you see the failure. They forgot the word of the Lord. and they did not inquire of the Lord.